Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In 1993, husband and wife team Diarra Endos Spech and Reynaldo Barroso Spech launched the first African Diaspora International Film Festival in New York City in order to spotlight films that would otherwise be ignored by traditional venues. The ADIFF has made it its mission to celebrate the human experiences of people of color from all over the world, disrupting stereotypes and giving voice to talented filmmakers whose works are part of Africa and the African diaspora. This year, the festival will be virtual, and it's happening now through December 13th. For tickets, along with film and panel information, go to nyadiff.org/2020. Joining us now to talk about the festival is co-director Diarra Endos Spech, founder of Art Matin Productions. Hello there, Diarra.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I am great. Thank you so much for being here and talking to us about the festival. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
When we talk about the African diaspora in the context of this film festival, what do we mean? Explain to me what that universe is.
The universe of this year of the African Diaspora Film Festival is really the representation of people of African descent all over the world. And even beyond that, people of color all over the world. So the films are coming from Latin America, from the Caribbean. We also have this year a First Nation program, so we have film from Australia and New Zealand. And we have films that are coming from Europe as well and from the continent, from South Africa all the way to Tunisia and Morocco. So we are really talking about an international film festival with an Afrocentric perspective, with the goal of presenting films that explore the universe of people of color all over the world.
Huh. So has the scope of the festival changed and broadened since you started this with your husband, Reynaldo Barroso Spech, back in 93?
It has expanded. It has broadened. We always had, even from the first year, we had films that were really international. I think we had maybe 15 films, and they were from 15 countries. We have added the concept of indigenous experience because we see so much connection between the reality of the people of African descent and the reality of people of First Nations, including colonization, genocide, and other issues that we all face. And so we find it's a rich experience, and it's important to recognize these connections. And so, for everybody to understand that there are a lot of connections, that we face a lot of common realities. And that's the motivation behind this large view of the African diaspora.
Yeah. And this year, the other thing that's different, the programming is virtual. Tell us how you adapted to the restraints of this pandemic.
Well, we had to do what a lot of people did. We looked for a system. We are working with Eventy, which is a very effective system and easy to use for people to watch films online. And we had to watch films online also to curate, which was a new experience. So we looked at festivals that were being held in Europe, in Africa, in the Caribbean, to select the films that we wanted to showcase this year. And we invited some films that did not accept the invitation because they were concerned about being shown online. So, we had to juggle a number of issues, but I think we came out with a really interesting program with a wide range of films. We have 75 films from 31 countries, including 26 world, U.S., and New York premieres, even though the film this year is national, which is also something that's new. Anybody in the country can watch the films.
Wow. And they could watch them on your website, right?
And they can watch it on the website. So they go to nyadiff.org, and from there they can select, and it's very inexpensive, they can select any film, they can watch trailers, they can read the synopsis, we have programs. The films are organized in slates. So right now we are in slate one. And we have three slates in the festival, and you can really see, you know, you can really discover another world, because all the films present stories from the experience of people of color. So it's really a way to expand your understanding of what the experience, living experience of people of color are. From we have a program about Afro-Colombian cinema. We have, as mentioned earlier, a First Nation program. We have films from Latin America, a lot of Afro-Latino films that explore the Afro-Latino experience. So it's a really wide range, and of course African-American titles as well. So it's really a rich and interesting experience that most people don't have access to easily.
And you see that this festival is still relevant after all these years, because international black communities continue to play a disproportionately marginal role in cinema in general, right? In mainstream cinema, is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think there are some films that we are having a festival that were showcased in major festivals like Toronto and Berlinale and Durban. But I think that most of the films are basically ignored and especially marginalized, which makes it important for the festival to exist, because we are a showcase. The fact that we have a wide range of films in one place, it gives strength to the films. When those films are shown in other festivals, sometimes they tend to be ignored because they are just a minority, and they are overshadowed by much more celebrated films that come from the mainstream. With our festival, all the films shine, all the films have a chance to really, they are in a great environment. And I think people who take the time to watch several films, they really, discover a new world. It's really like a great moment to experience, to travel, and to experience a different worldview in terms of what it means to be a person of color, and what it means to see great films that usually are ignored.
Over the last 27 years that you've been doing this, how have narratives changed when it comes to the contents of these films? The narratives of the characters.
There's a wider range of stories being told today than before. And for example, we have a group of young African American filmmakers in the festival that are telling stories that are original. They are using new methodologies of work, with the technology they have access to saying, stories that they couldn't before. They and they also go into different areas. For example, this Take Out Girl, this African-American filmmaker actually went into the Chinese-American community to tell a film about a young woman who tries to help her mother who works in a Chinese restaurant. There's this other filmmaker who tells the story in Pink Opaque, Pink Opaque, about being a filmmaker and trying to finish school while being homeless. So what they do is they manage to tell, with the tools that they have, to tell original stories that we didn't see before. We didn't see so much range and diversity in the storytelling.
If you're just joining us, I'm Matt Katz, filling in for Allison Stewart on All of It, and we're talking to Diarra Ndaw-Spesh about the African Diaspora International Film Festival, which is happening now through December 13th. Tickets are available at nyadiff.org/2020. Wanted to get into a couple of these films, if I could. The first film you wanted to highlight is a documentary about the life and legacy of Paul Lawrence Dunbar, the first African-American to achieve national fame as a writer in the late 19th century. The documentary is called Paul Lawrence Dunbar Beyond the Mask, and it's directed by filmmaker Frederick Lewis. Let's listen to a clip from the trailer of the film. Here is Maya Angelou, and she's being interviewed about the title of her autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
It came from a poem written by Paul Lawrence Dunbar, black male poet writing in the 1800s. It's called Sympathy. the poem. I know what the caged bird feels, ah me, when the sun is bright on the upland slopes, when the wind blows soft through the springing grass, and the river floats like a sheet of glass, when the first bird sings, and the first bud opes, and the faint perfume from its chalice steals. I know what the caged bird feels. I know why the caged bird beats its wing till its blood is red on the cruel bars, for he must fly back to his perch and cling when he fain would be on the bough a swing. And the blood still throbs in the old, old scars, and they pulse again with a keener sting. I know why he beats his wing. I know why the caged bird sings, ah me. When its wings are bruised and its bosom sore, it beats its bars and would be free. It's not a carol of joy or glee, but a prayer that it sends from its heart's deep core, but a plea that upward to heaven it flings. I know why the caged bird sings.
Wonderful to hear Maya Angelou in my headphones this Monday afternoon. Diarra, tell us about the documentary in which Maya Angelou is, an interview from her is featured. This is the documentary Paul Laurence Dunbar, Beyond the Mask. Tell us about this film.
Yeah, it's a great emotional moment when she reads that poem. Paul Laurence Dunbar, he was born in the late 19th century to parents who were enslaved in Kentucky before the American Civil War. So he was a poet, he was a writer, he was a playwright, and he published his first poem at 16, and he was most popular for, the writing he did that was called The Negro Dialect, and he wrote the book, for example, Jump Back Honey. But he also wrote in standard English, and he was very well known internationally. He was the first African-American writer to gain international recognition. But at the same time, he could not live from his work. So, for example, he had to work as a bellboy for many years, and he would read and write while he was working in the elevator because he would not be granted the right to just earn a living from his talent as a writer. And when we showed the film in our Paris festival, there was a French critic that said, his name is Olivier Barlet, that said that the film allows us to capture the twists and turns of African-American literature in the 19th century. Mm. And it's a great summary because the film is not only about Dunbar, but it's also about a whole time period that is portrayed, with the birth of Jim Crow. So it's also a history lesson in terms of the late 19th century, early 20th century. It's really well done and informative. And there's also a lot of great, Maya Angelou is a pleasure to see in the film.
That's worth it alone to watch the film, to listen to Maya. The next film you wanted to highlight is a documentary called Finding Sally from director Tamara Dawit. What is this documentary about?
Well, Finding Sally is a personal investigation by the filmmaker into the mysterious life of her aunt Sally, who was an Ethiopian aristocrat who turned communist rebel, and disappeared after the revolution that led to the overthrow of Emperor Haile Selassie in the mid-70s Ethiopia.
Okay. We have a clip from the trailer. Let's take a listen.
I grew up in Canada, shrouded in my family's collective silence, and raised by my Canadian mother. It wasn't until my late 30s that I moved to Addis Ababa so that I could better understand the country that is in my blood and build a relationship with my father's sisters. At my grandmother's house, I was confronted with a new revelation. I had another aunt, one that no one had ever mentioned.
Sally had disappeared. We don't know where she was. We don't know if she was alive.
She was popular. She was very kind, gentle, but really, really fun-loving. She loved partying. I think initially she fell in love, But whatever it was that he believed in, she did too.
She changed dramatically. I don't know if the word converted is the right word, but she became more involved in the movement than we could have ever imagined. People were dying left and right. When you are in that kind of situation, you know you will be next.
They were becoming very secretive. They didn't want to be seen with anybody. But for her, yes, it was dangerous.
I think it was a very difficult decision for her to go underground because we were very close. I mean, the family was close.
How could there be a close relative that I know nothing about? I wonder, though, would Sally fit into today's Ethiopia? Would she still be fighting?
That was a trailer for Finding Sally, one of the documentaries at the film festival. And you know, before we're running out of time, but I was hoping, Diara, that you could let us know about the movie Lil Buck, Real Swan, which is the closing night film on Sunday, December 13th. Can you just tell us briefly about
that
documentary?
It's a documentary about Lil Buck, Real Swan, Charles Riley. He's a dancer who learned joking in Memphis, which is a local dancing style. And he also took ballet, so he was able to mix his ballet with joking and create a very interesting and unique style. And today he's celebrated for his innovative dance style as well as his dedication to elevating the art of street dance to higher grounds and also helping young people make a life for themselves through dance.
Lil Buck, Real Swan is the closing night film on Sunday, December 13th. There's also a closing night Q&A that afternoon at 3 p.m. featuring Charles Lil Buck Riley, who's a dancer, activist, and star of the film, along with Perla De Leon, director of the National Peace and Justice Memorial. I've been speaking with Diara Endaw-Spesh about the 28th African Diaspora International Film Festival happening online now through December 13th. Diara, thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate you having these films available for all of us to watch.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having us as well, and I'm glad you're going to speak to Malika Rivera, who hosted the panel about Juano Hernandez that was also part of the film festival. So thank you.
That's up next. Absolutely. Thanks.